This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Adam Kaufman of Sports Grid will join us. We will go over the NBA playoffs and what a playoffs it has been, recording this before Timberwolves Warriors here. That's about to tip off, and that has become a dangerous exercise to record before any of these games and assume anything's going to happen. I do assume by the time you're listening to this, Minnesota is going to beat up on Golden State. I'm not sure Golden State wins another game in this series, so I will just kind of call my shot there and assume Minnesota evens this series. And if it's ever 2-0 Golden State by the time you listen to this, I will be completely shocked and completely wrong. And boy, a lot of people have been wrong about a lot of things in this postseason, and I'll put my hand up. I do not think the Knicks would be heading home here up 2-0. I did not think the Pacers would be heading home 2-0. Now, some of that is the Cleveland injuries, but some of that was a complete meltdown on Tuesday night. And meltdown has been the key word here, because not only are a lot of these big favorites losing, they are doing so in unbelievably horrific fashion. Celtics up 20 in the third quarter on Monday. And then you figure, all right, they'll get back on track. They're up 16. Middle of the third quarter, and Pritchard hit a three to put them up 16 with 8 minutes left in the game. And the Knicks reel off 13 consecutive stops, 13 straight missed shots by the Celtics. The Knicks take a lead. They hang on, and they lead 2-0 as they head into a game three on Saturday. And we'll get to the spreads here in a minute. It feels like the Knicks have a chance here to not only win this series, but to go to the finals, which I don't want to sit here and flip-flop and pick the Celtics, then pick the Knicks, because I feel like when you're doing these shows and you pick one side, then you change your mind, you could either way you get to say you're right, and I don't think that's fair. But look, you gotta play the ball where it lies. You gotta say what you think. And I understand that game three is huge, and the Celtics 5-point favorites, which I just don't understand. I don't know that Boston, who probably don't need both of them. They obviously need one, or they get swept and the series is over. Even if you get one, you get five at home, you get seven at home. If you're down 3-1, it's not the end of the world, although home court has not been great for them, as we know. But I just feel like the Celtics are going to have a hard time walking into that Garden on Saturday. And that is a Knicks team. They have not been to a conference final in decades. It has been decades since they've been to a conference finals. And they're going to be in just a frenzied atmosphere. Not that they can't handle it, not that the Celtics still aren't probably the better team on paper, but like I said before the game two, before the Wednesday show, or on the Wednesday show, Brown does not look like himself. Tatum has not been great. I don't think he's hurt, he just hasn't played well. Porzingis, there's something weird going on with the illness, and they just look like a team that is coming off a title, and they're not completely 100%, and they give the Knicks credit. This is in no way discounting what the Knicks have done. The Knicks have played outstanding defense, and I think this idea that, oh, the Celtics are just missing shots like it's an accident, I think is ridiculous. The Knicks have defended like hell. Not a great defensive team, but they've played really good defense, I think, in this series. Brunson is incredible, as we know, in the fourth quarter. And the Knicks have put themselves in a position where they are stunningly, stunningly up 2-0 here heading into the weekend. So, it's funny. It's almost like, because we got no buzz, no juice with the NCAA tournament. And usually the NCAA tournament is where you get the crazy finishes and the upsets and madness of March, and the NBA playoffs is usually chalk. It is really switched this year with the NCAA tournament for the most part, outside a few games. They got a good title game. They got Duke Houston in the Final Four, was good, but the first weekend of the tournament, it was just all chalk. It was a lot of blowouts. The tournament was really disappointing. It's flipped the NBA playoffs now for whatever reason, and I thought we'd get a good playoffs coming in the season. I mentioned a lot coming into the playoffs that I think, even though the regular season has taken a turn for the worst, to say the least, they still have a good postseason, and I think their postseason product is good. And the way the bracket broke, and the balance of the teams, the depth of the teams, I thought we were looking at a good postseason. It has not been a good postseason. It's been a great postseason with all of the games, all of the upsets. It's just been really a lot of fun, completely unpredictable. And now you put yourself, you're in a position now looking at this from a big picture standpoint where it's really not crazy that the Knicks are in the finals. It's really not, because Cleveland is on the ropes. Both teams with home court head to game three, down 0-2. If it's a Knicks-Pacers conference final and the Knicks are sitting here with home court advantage in the conference finals, I know Indy got them last year after the Knicks got up 2-0 and the Knicks had all those injuries. I don't think the Pacers would beat them this year. I think the Knicks, if they finish off the Celtics, I think they'd go to a final again. We're getting ahead of ourselves to sit here and talk about a Knicks Pacers conference finals, but it is certainly on the table. I'm shocked as I look at the odds here. The Celtics are still -120 to win the series. I get the talent. I get they haven't shot the three well. I get they never really play well at home, and they're good on the road in this run with Tatum and Brown. I think the Knicks are winning. I would take the Knicks plus the 5 on Saturday. I think the Knicks are winning. So should be a lot of fun. We'll see what Adam Kaufman thinks about this. I know he is a big Celtics. Homer might be a stretch, but it might not be. He's a Celtics guy, so not bring him on here to rub his nose in it. I would never do that. But I would be curious to see if he's jumped off board or if the title from last year has given him some confidence that maybe Celtics fans in general wouldn't have had this time last year and this time 2 years ago. And I will say one thing, and I'm not taking any victory laps because I picked Celtics in five, and I've been saying since the winter, Celtics Thunder to make the finals, for that to be the finals, a good bet. That being said, I have added the point that it is interesting. This time last year, we all thought the Celtics were chokers. This time 2 years ago, there was a consensus: oh, the Celtics, they're chokers. They can't get it done when it matters. They lose big series. They can't close games. The championship they won, and I hate to denigrate anyone's championship. It's hard to win. You can't control who you play. You win a championship, you don't have to apologize to anyone. Winning that championship did not disprove anyone who thought Boston, you know what? Things get tight and they're in a fair fight. It gets dicey for them because, I mean, look at it. Miami was a show of themselves. Cleveland had a bunch of guys hurt. The Pacers didn't even belong there, and they were banged up by the end of the series. And then Dallas was a 5 seed. And even Luka was banged up, although he seems to be banged up at the end of all these postseasons. He's just not in great shape. That was a very, very fortunate path to a championship for Boston, which, again, you don't apologize. You can't control who you play. It's not their fault these other teams got hurt or got upset. All they did is win the championship. They didn't have to play a seventh game. They didn't have to play a sixth game. They just mowed the field down, and they were dominant in the regular season. They were dominant in the postseason. That being said, it does get a little awkward at the end of these games for them. They have a very hard time getting these shots to fall when it matters. And we have seen that on full display here in these last couple of games. So should be a fun weekend. Again, I will take the Knicks plus the 5, and I don't think Boston's going to rally and get out of the series. I think the Knicks are going to be moving on. I think a Knicks Pacers series is coming. I really do. I think that both teams that are down 0-2 can talk themselves in. You know what? Just don't worry about the 0-2. Don't worry about the home guard. Just win game three, and all of a sudden, everything will feel differently. I get that, but I don't know that that's going to happen. So, fascinating series, fascinating scenario. I also think Indy wins. We'll see. It's a very hard game. It's a very hard game here to forecast when we don't know who's playing for Cleveland, but Mitchell looks banged up. Even if these guys for Cleveland do return on Friday and the Pacers are getting two, I'll take the 2 points with Indy. I think Indy wins the game. So I think we're going to get more of the same. I think the teams that are up 2-0 are going to continue to control these series. And it's just such a fascinating situation where you have the better teams on the road, in the holes, trying to fight back from 0-2. Really makes for some dramatic games here this weekend, starting with Friday night and in Indy in Cleveland. OKC, Denver. OKC absolutely ran them off the floor in game two. That's usually what we see in these scenarios where the team that's down 0-1 loses game one at home. They usually roll in game two. I mean, that was a dramatic addition of that. And by the way, what these coaches do, I killed Dagnall on Monday, on the Wednesday show, for what he did on Monday in game one and the fouling and fouling too early and botching that. The Nuggets coach, Adelman, you're down 45 points in the middle of the third quarter. And you got Jokic still out there running around, tangling with people, falling down. Murray's out there. What are you doing? Your team just played a 7-game series. Your team went to the distance Monday night in game one. You stole one on the road. You're down 30 at half. Get the hell out of there. I admire the competitiveness at some standpoint to say, all right, we're gonna be greedy. We're gonna go for two. You're not winning that game. I understand all the upsets we've seen, and to not give up on the game, that was stupid. That was reckless. That was really stupid. He's lucky Jokic didn't get hurt. It's almost rooting for Jokic to get hurt just to punish him for the stupidity. And that was absolute stupidity in game two. I mean, down 45 points. It's the end of the third quarter. The game is over. Get Jokic off his feet. Forget the injury concern. Just get him some rest. Go away. Just get ready for game three. I thought that was really, really stupid on principle. on principle, I will pick OKC minus 4.5 for game three. You can't be that stupid, really. I mean, you can't be that stupid. That was just the dumbest thing you'll ever see. I couldn't believe how long he left them. And eventually, Jokic, he didn't even bench Jokic. Jokic fouled out. He's tangling with the bigs at OKC. He's tangling with Williams. He's falling down. Get him out of the game. I thought it was just beyond idiotic in game two. It was just really, really stupid by Adam. And I guess I'm taking OKC minus the 4.5, but Dagnall did not dress himself in glory in game one too with the fouls. I mean, these coaches, these NBA coaches, man, they are replaceable. Sounds like a harsh word, interchangeable. Because, well, first of all, Adelman wasn't a coach until 5 minutes left in the season. Then he goes and beats Ty Lue in game seven with a Clippers roster that everyone loves. Ty Lue's won a championship. Then all of a sudden, hey, how about you? You go be the coach. All right, we win a series and we move on. Dagnall, who's supposedly the best coach in the league, best coach in the world, he does that stupid, idiotic fouling sequence at the end of game one. Redick, who everyone loves, he gets bounced in round one. And Ham, who was really a punching bag, especially among Lakers fans last year. I mean, Redick and Ham did the exact. Had the exact same results. So it's really amazing how interchangeable these coaches are. I just think you need, somebody to not screw it up. These coaches have not been that impressive here in this postseason here. And Kerr, who everybody it doesn't seem to get the credit because he's got Curry, he's had Durant, he's had great teams. Kerr does a good job. I think Kerr's a good coach, an underrated coach, which is a weird thing to say for a guy that's won that many championships. But Kerr is an underrated coach. A lot of these new guys, though, geez. Thibodeau's bad with this stuff. Well, I think Thibodeau's coached a good series here, and hard to knock him when he's up 2-0 going back home. But some of these coaches just do some strange things here. So the picks, Knicks plus 5, OKC minus 4.5 on principle. That is a principle play after that idiot left Jokic in forever. And I will take the Pacers plus the 2. I think we're getting a Knicks Pacers conference finals, and I think the Knicks are going to the finals. They would get run out of the building by OKC if that's the final. And it looks like OKC's probably got itself on track. But if you're the Knicks, you'll deal with that when you get there, and you'll be so happy to be going to a final. You wouldn't really worry about it. Anything there for me would be gravy again. Long way to go. Still have to finish off the Celtics. Have a conference finals ahead of you, but it should be a fun weekend here in the NBA. Coming up, Adam Kaufman. That is next. This should have been more podcast. All right, we are back. Should a bit more podcast, and he is back. Talk a little NBA playoffs. You can catch him on Sports Grid, Celtics beat, and we are going to be talking some Celtics series. That is right now the story here in the NBA playoffs. It is Adam Kaufman. Adam, what's up, man? How are you?
Do we have to? We couldn't talk,
Yes.
Thunder Nuggets, Cavs Pacers. You got the, Warriors Timberwolves. Like, do we have to talk about the Celtics and the Knicks? There's got to be something else in the world happening.
And we are recording this before Timberwolves and Warriors on Thursday. I think we're all assuming that series will be even by the time people listen to this. But let's get into it. Let's have a therapy session here. I guess I'll start with this. I'll ask it this way. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back at all. I picked the Celtics in five, and I've been saying since the winner, Celtics Thunder Finals at 5-1, 4-1, 3-1, 2-1. Eventually, you run out of value. But that I've been a believer that the Celtics get back to the finals. That being said, I do find it interesting. This time last year, there was a pretty widely consensus opinion that the Celtics were kind of chokers. Even 2 years ago, they're kind of chokers. They can't finish. It is interesting how they won a championship against a path that was extremely, extremely watered down. Then all of these questions just went away. I hate poking holes in teams' championships because it's hard to do, and you can't help who you play. And they were great last year in terms of the net margin. That being said, there are still some issues at the end of these games where it just feels a little uncomfortable. How much of that do you think is fair or unfair?
Well, I think picking on last year's path is something that, I just don't, I don't see any point in it because, like you said, you play who you play. And, like, are we going to sit back and, go through every team's championship and what path they took to get there over the last, going back to the, NBA it, coming in with the original teams back in the 50s? Like, no, of course we're not going to do that. So I'm sure some teams have had easier roads than others. Boston, was it an easy path, or did the Celtics just absolutely annihilate the competition? You can, for the listeners, decide for yourselves, right? In the here and now, I think a lot of people expected Orlando to give Boston a fight, not win the series or even necessarily make it a long series, and it wasn't. It was five. But based on the way the Magic are built, in terms of it's not a very good offense, but it's a very good defense. And they were going to find a way to take the Celtics out of the way they normally like to play, which is either take away the three-pointer or and force you into isolation, or take away the ISO and force you into the threes, but they were going to be contested. And so a lot of the Celtics' offensive numbers were not good during that series, but they did enough, obviously, to win. I set all of that up because coming into this series, I don't need to tell you, I'm sure you've talked about it plenty, the sort of the chorus nationally, locally, here in Boston, what have you, was Knicks aren't even going to be a challenger. This isn't even going to be a fight. This is going to be such an easy, they should sweep, probably be a gentleman's sweep. How in the world does it go six? But there is no universe in which the Celtics lose this series. And then you see what was historic meltdowns in these first two games. Like there's this stat going around. We've seen it in a variety of places. I'm reading a tweet from Evan Abrams over at the Action Network. The Celtics are the first team in the play-by-play era going back to the start of the 1996 season to lose two games when leading by 20-plus points in an entire single postseason, and they did it in back-to-back games. It just goes to show you that, one, Boston obviously should be up 2-0 in this series. Worst-case scenario, this should be 1-1. The fact that it's 0-2, I think is almost kind of, it somewhat explains the odds and the fact that the Knicks are only narrowly favored to win now, going back home up 2-0, only needing to win two out of the next five games. It's kind of nuts to even think about. But I think it's hard to look at what we've seen so far here in the microcosm that is this two-game series and say that the Celtics don't have an issue putting teams away. But I think the bigger problem, I mean, you can break it down to certain guys, like Jason Tatum had 13 points in the first quarter of game one, and I think he has 23 points in the seven quarters since. Obviously, he has not been good. Porzingis, and I'm not making excuses, it's just a fact, he's playing through something. He's not looked the way people thought he was going to look. The role players generally have been very good for Boston, but you need a little bit more out of Jaylen Brown, who, while offensively, generally he was good in game two, he was also a turnover machine. So, there are all sorts of concerns attached to the performance of this team so far. I just think, the way that they have shot, I felt this way going into game two, so what do I know? But it's been so bad, I don't understand how this is sustainable, how water doesn't find its level, how Boston doesn't sort of come back to earth a little bit. The biggest concern that I have, which is not so much about an inability to close games, it's, if you watch that game two, as I know you did, they looked disinterested. They looked like they didn't even want to be there. It was hapless. It was sloppy. It was like they were treating it like a regular season game in February instead of a, quasi must win in game two, at home. So that's my concern, is it's not the ability. It's not, who the Celtics are talent wise. It's can they get their heads out of their, collective butts going back to Madison Square Garden now and show some heart, show some fight, show some effort, show that this means something to them. Otherwise, people are just going to pick it apart and call it a championship hangover or something like that. And I don't believe in that.
Does the Celtic fan right now believe that they're going to rally and win the series, or is the Celtic fan kind of jumping off board?
I think Celtics fans are at the very least telling themselves that Boston is going to win this series because, and as a Celtics fan, I'll speak for the masses. We can't consider the alternative. Like, how does Boston go in as such a massive, massive favorite in this series? What was it, minus 900, minus 1,000, something like that on the money line going into the series, and not win and go out like this? Again, historic losses in game one and two, and now you got to go on the road and fight. And I still believe, and I really don't think a Knicks fan in their heart would argue against this, the Celtics are still the more talented team. They've not been the more clutch team. But top to bottom, in terms of the roster and the rotational guys that are out there on the floor, they are the more talented team. They just haven't played like it. And some of that is all the different things we can pick apart with Boston and things that they've done wrong. And some of that obviously is, you know, giving the Knicks credit for clutching up late offensively, defensively, across the board. But I still, you know, this is where, like, you tell me if I sound like a homer when I say this. And it's fine if I do. But tell me, like, I don't feel like New York has, like, stolen these games as much as Boston has just choked all over itself and given them away. You know, like, we didn't see in either of these games what we saw in, you know, like, between Indiana and Cleveland, or what we saw in game one between OKC and Denver, for instance. Like, this like, even largely, like, maybe there's a brief double-digit lead, but generally even throughout the game, who's going to win this one at the end kind of thing. Like, this has just been Boston crumbling all over itself. And so if they can fix that, and feels like a big if when you're down two games going on the road, I get it. Madison Square Garden is not an easy place to play. But, you know, correct that. Like, get that choke gene, or whatever you want to call it, out of your game. And sure, like, Boston has the talent to win 4 out of 5. There is, you know, is that like the play that people should be making right now? Probably not. But you can get, if you believe that, you can get great value. You can get a nice plus money number on Boston to win the East right now, because I do think, you know, well, I don't know. I was going to say, I think whoever wins the series wins the East. I'm not sure I feel that way, because I do have a lot of respect for the Pacers. I think Indiana would probably take down New York. I think Cleveland's done. That's a whole other thing. But, you know, that's my feeling about this series as it sits right now. I think Boston just needs to fix itself. It sort of feels like lazy analysis, but that's what it feels like watching these games. Get your head right.
Yeah, I think the Knicks, a couple things. I think they deserve credit for hitting shots when they need to, and Brunson is obviously, as Reggie Miller tells us time and time again, I never think, and this upsets Knicks fans, I don't think he can be like the best player on a title team, which is not an insult. I mean, that's only a few guys in the league, but he is just incredible at the end of these games. And I do think the Knicks defense has bothered Boston more than some are letting on. I think there's a lot of, oh, Boston, they're just missing shots. Some of them are good looks, but some of them are really contested. So I do think the Knicks have done a pretty good job defensively. What are you looking here Saturday? Boston laying 5. I have a very hard time laying points here with the Celtics after watching these first two games. I understand it's recency bias, all that, but that place is going to be buzzing. You're getting 5 points. You're home. To me, this is Knicks or nothing. What do you like?
Yeah, I would be inclined to agree with you. And for me, it's more than nothing. I, you know, because Boston going out and winning by 10 wouldn't surprise me. You know, I don't think the number is quite big enough for me to want to take the Knicks as the dog in this situation. I think I would just stay away and I would look at the prop market, you know. But again, I felt like Knicks with the points were the right side in game one. I absolutely thought Boston was going to bounce back and cover in game two, and, you know, should have throughout that game. They were covering the number, the vast majority of it. So I have a hard time going back to Boston right now, for sure. You know, with the way the Celtics are playing, how could you feel great about that? But I don't think the Knicks are the right side either. So I think the side at least is a stay away from me.
All right. A one sentence or one word answer. I you could tell me anything's going to happen in the series. Knicks in 7, Boston in 7, Knicks sweep, which is just unfathomable to think 3 or 4 days ago. Who wins the series? How many games?
Yeah, I have to say Boston in 7. I have to. Yeah. I have to. I can't, because I can't. I don't know how I will cope for the next week, you know, thinking about otherwise. Look, there are some teams, you know this, like there's just some teams that even as bettors or as analysts or whatever, like, you know, at our core we're fans and we ride with more than others, and the Celtics are a team in terms of the local teams that I'm definitely more passionate about than some of the others. So I have a hard time sitting here and saying you know, Knicks in 7, but how about this? I'll give you this. If people think I just sound like this obscene homer for the last 10 minutes or whatever it's been, I do think it's going 7. Whoever wins the series, I think it's going 7. I think we're going to get a bounce back from Boston. I think it'll be a long one.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're Boston right now, I mean, that's the most you could possibly hope for. You got to win 4 out of 5, 3 out of the next 4 on the road. I mean, you would obviously, I mean, this is an obvious statement, you would obviously sign in blood for a game 7 if you're Boston right now. And
sure.
Even if you're down, and they almost pulled it off 2 years ago, and Cleveland's in a similar scenario.
Yeah.
If there's ever a team that can pull off a 3-0, it's different when you get 5-7 at home, because even if you get a split in New York, it's not ideal to be down 3-1, but 5 at home. Now, look, they've lost their home games, but still, 5 at home, 7 at home. You put yourself at least in a reasonable situation if you split, but I think probably the winner of this series, the winner of game three is probably the winner of the series.
It does make you wonder kind of which team. I only bring this up because Kristaps Porzingis was talking about it post game, which team has more pressure on it. Like you would think, obviously, the Celtics. Like, I mean, you're the massive favorite going in. You're the team that's down 2-0 that's going on the road, you know. But the flip side of that is, you know, you're the team that has, you know, maybe not been through this specific situation, but you've been through the ringer. You're the defending champs. You won the title last year. You know you've got the talent. You know your stars need to be better than they've been. You know that a lot of this stuff is correctable, so to speak. So, you know, it makes you wonder, like, all right, the Knicks on the other side, if they're, you know, like the Knicks team, you know, I feel like that sort of the all that surrounds, like the aura that surrounds the New York Knicks, they sort of present as a better, more successful franchise than they actually are. This is, you know, we may have just seen the most successful 3-game stretch in New York Knicks history between, you know, that win against the Pistons in round one and Brunson hitting that 3-pointer obviously to seal it, and then these two back-to-back 20 plus deficit games in games one and two on the road in Boston. Like to string those 3 games together the way they have, like, I mean, the Knicks, like, on one hand are playing with house money, but on the other it's like, holy crap, we might actually do this. Like, I had a one of my best friends is a diehard Knicks fan. He texted me before the series started and he said, the Knicks could be up somehow 3-0 in this series, leading by 20, entering the fourth quarter of game four, and I still would not believe that they're going to win this series. That is the mentality of a Knicks fan going into this. So I don't think anyone, either side of the ledger, is sitting right with what's going on right now.
Yeah, and it's funny because when you're the big favorite like Boston, obviously the pressure's on them. But now once you've like I always say this, expectations have a way of readjusting themselves. Once you're up 2-0 and you're going home for three and home for four, what was a house money series is no longer a house money series. This is now a series. If you're the Knicks, you have to win. This would sting if the Knicks didn't win this series. And of course, going into the series, obviously you want to win. But if you told a Knicks fan before the series, "Hey, you lost in six, you lost in seven," say, "All right, you know that's better than I thought, maybe."
Yeah, respectable
Now
series.
that's not good enough. Now, last one on the series before we get to the other ones quickly. What is going on with Porzingis? What are you hearing? What are you thinking with him?
Yeah, all we know is non-COVID illness, and he dealt with this earlier in the season and missed a long stretch of games, whatever it was that kept him off the floor. I mean, nobody knows for certain. Viral infection, who knows? I mean, anything that I would say is speculatory other than
Gotcha.
saying non-COVID because that's what the team has told us. But beyond that, yeah, I mean, he plays 13 minutes in game one, you know, doesn't score, 0 for 4 shooting, leaves at halftime, doesn't come back. And I think a lot of people assumed that he wasn't going to play in game two, that, you know, he's starts as I think probable. And then obviously they make him available, comes off the bench, but he was, you know, sort of deeper in the rotation than normal. You know, this is a guy that would typically start. Now he's coming in behind even like Luke Kornet. And he looked terrible out there. You know, he's looked awful on both sides of the floor in this series. So I'm not so sure that it's actually, and this is, I say this as someone who believed Porzingis was going to have a massive series. You know, he's been so good against his former Knicks team as a member of the Celtics at MSG in Boston, just in general. He has been reliable. He's been a scorer. He's had hot starts. And I thought he was going to be Boston's maybe second leading scorer in this series, even ahead of Jaylen Brown. And he's looked terrible. So, you know, I'm honestly not sure it's even beneficial to put him out there in game three. I'm really not, because he's getting eaten alive.
Two games on Friday, Cavs still laying two against Indiana, and the Thunder laying 4.5 to the Nuggets in Denver. Any thought on either one of those games?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Pacers win that series, and I felt like they were going to win the series going in. So I don't just say this because they took 2 games in Cleveland to open up that series. I just think there's something about Cleveland that I haven't trusted all year. You know, they feel like kind of like, I think back to, this isn't the perfect comp, but I think back to like the 07, 08 season. The Hawks won 60 plus games in the regular season,
I use them
and
all the
you
time.
know,
It's funny you mention them.
yeah,
I use
like
the
it.
Hawks. I use the later team. I think it was 2014 into
Maybe that's what it was.
15,
Maybe,
maybe.
maybe,
No,
maybe,
they had
maybe.
multiple seasons like that where they're good, but
Yeah.
you just don't buy it.
Yeah, and that's I've been sort of on an island feeling that way about Cleveland this year. And so I'm not a big believer in the Cavs. I'm not. And I like this Pacers team a lot. I like their depth. I think Haliburton is, a killer. Obviously some of the clutch buckets from him, but he's an elite facilitator. He creates a lot for his teammates. They have balanced offense throughout that lineup. They play solid defense. I think there is something to be said from, learning from previous failures. They got swept out by Boston last year, but in the process, all of those were close games. This wasn't like an easy sweep on the part of the Celtics. I thought the Pacers were extraordinarily competitive in that series, and they did so largely without Haliburton. So now coming back and being mostly healthy, I think they are a dangerous team. So I like Indy to win the series. I would just continue to invest in the Pacers. And that is, even putting like any lack of trust in the Cavs aside, they're so banged up. We just saw no Mobley, no Garland, no Hunter in the previous game. We'll see what grouping of these guys is available for this next one, if any. But this is a team that, they're just, I mean, you're talking about three guys that at the very least, again, even if they're all out there, are not close to 100%. Three guys that are part of your top, what, six, seven at most? So that's a lot to overcome against a thirsty team on the other side. So I do like the Pacers in that one. The Thunder and Nuggets, OKC should win, obviously, and I think there's something to be said similarly about learning from, last year when they just weren't ready and too young, and they do have the inexperience even still compared to a team like Denver on the other side that won a title only a couple of years back, and they've still, it's the battle of MVP candidates. SGA is going to win it, but in my mind, I think a lot of people's Jokic is still the best player in the world. I just think we're going to get a long series. I think we're going to get a 6-7 game series no matter who wins it, and I truly would not be surprised by either outcome.
Adam, you're the best. Final prediction here. Who's in the finals and who wins?
Oh, I mean, it's obviously Boston over Oklahoma City. That's
Okay.
just as we've been saying all throughout the year. It's interesting now, man. It really is. It's interesting. I think if the Celtics do lose to the Knicks, I will put the Pacers in the East, and over in the West, and I think the winner would come out of the West regardless if it's not the Celtics. So I will go. I'll still go Thunder. I will. It's going to be Thunder, or it's going to be, Nuggets. It's not going to be the Timberwolves or the Warriors. So I guess I'll go OKC over Indiana as it exists right now.
Adam, should be fun, man. This has been a great postseason. It's funny. I made the point. The NCAA tournament and the NBA playoffs is almost like
I
they've
saw that
switched
tweet.
bodies. It,
I
it's
saw that.
usually the NCAA tournament is these upsets and crazy finishes, and the NBA is a chalk fest. And it's
Yep.
flipped this year, so it's been fun. Adam, I appreciate it, man. We got to do this more often. Let us know where we can find you.
Anytime on Twitter, Adam M. Kaufman, and like you mentioned, on Sports Grid pretty frequently. Host shows on the weekends, oftentimes appear during the week. And in addition to that, if you can stand more Celtics talk, I've got a weekly Celtics podcast called Celtics Beat. So those are the main spots.
Enjoyed it, man. Good luck the rest of the way, and we'll talk soon.
All right, look forward to it.
Rate, review, subscribe. Goldboys.com is the Discord. Should be a fun weekend here with the NBA, all the playoffs, all the NHL playoffs. Enjoy it. We'll talk to you Monday. See you then.